Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a beautiful Saturday. I know the weather hasn't been that great, and it's going to be kind of cold and yucky for the next couple of weeks, but we're going to keep you warm and interested and excited by bringing you up to date with everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And joining me to do so, as he does so very often on the show, please welcome from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
When you said everything that's going on in the world of pop culture, I assume that you're talking about Taylor Swift at the Golden Globes.
It's Taylor Swift everywhere. It's Taylor Swift's world. We just live in it.
That's
right. Come on, Jeremy.
Right.
You knew that.
Yeah,
to the extent that, like, yesterday a friend of mine posted on Facebook about Fisher-Price. That, you know, Fisher-Price makes toys. They make the famous The Little People toys that we all played with when we were little kids. And they're
like Peter Dinklage?
What's that?
I'm sorry.
No, that's right. So yeah, the little people, the little, you know, like round little person figures, and they can have that, you know, the house and the parking garage and all that stuff that they can play around with them in. Well, they're coming out with these sets in cooperation with the NFL that are, you know, little team sets, and they have the players and the fans, and they're done up for all the teams. And a friend of mine posted about that and said, this is cute. And I responded, yeah, but unless Taylor Swift's in them, nobody's going to buy them anyway.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's the extent to which we are all living in Taylor Swift's world. So, you know, and that's fine. Yeah, she seems to be a benevolent ruler. So I will, I'll take it.
But you're telling people to vote, Julio, but we won't go down that road. I want to talk to you because we're going to be recapping this year in television. We talked movies on last week's show, and I feel like it's a good transition to kind of start. We're in award season right now, and there's a lot of people that are going to be nominated over the next couple of weeks. Golden Globes kind of kicks this thing off. You've got some interesting tidbits of information about the restructuring of the Golden Globes for the first year, but all I want to know is, did you think Joe Coy killed it, or was he just the greatest host ever, one or the other?
I have never seen someone get so much good press for such a bad job.
Like, okay, explain. Like, that's interesting.
Like, there's been like the last week of the trades has been loaded with, you know, Joe Coy says this. Joe Coy says that. I've heard Joe Coy's name more in the last week than I have in the entirety of his career. So, even though, like, the buzz on the street, and it's fair, is that he didn't do a very good job hosting the Globes, it's boosted his profile, man. And I don't know if it's going to end up being a boon in the long term, but you go back to that whole, the old adage of there's no such thing as bad publicity. And it has definitely gotten his name out there in front of the public in a way that it wasn't even a year ago, or even, you know, even a month ago. I have some.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
he's got Taylor Swift's name in the headlines with him, so that's actually kind of a brilliant take. I know who Joe Coy is. He's been selling out like arenas for years. He's huge in certain sects of comedy, but over the last week, I saw so many Joe Who questions under comments discussing all of this stuff. So I think you're dead on with that. That's a good point.
I think he was well known to people who really know and follow stand up comedy. But to people that don't, he was basically unknown. I think fair to say also was well known in the Filipino community. But beyond that, I mean, like your average everyday, I know he had a movie out earlier this year that did okay. Last year, in 2023. But, you know, it's, there seems to be that seems to happen a lot with stand-up comics. Unless you break through to the absolute upper echelon of stand-up comics, if you're, you know, and I'm trying to think of even who that would be today, like Kevin Hart is a good example. If you're Kevin Hart, everybody knows who you are. If you are a Joe Coy or Sebastian Maniscalco or a, even Jim Gaffigan, pretty well known comics, pretty well known in the comedy community. But beyond that, like, I don't know that the average person knows who they are. So,
speaking of which, Cat Williams came out hot this week too. That was another wild thing that just completely dominated the internet. But we got to keep it on focus, I guess.
Well, and I think also
about the new Golden Globes.
Well, and there's a factor in there too, just to wrap up the thought, that a lot of times the way the stand-up comic ends up getting known is not for stand-up comedy; it's for doing movies, it's for doing TV.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, none of these guys has become Jerry Seinfeld yet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they haven't had a sitcom with their name in the title or anything like that. So that's part of it. The Golden Globes is the Hollywood Foreign Press, which was the organization that used to run the Golden Globes, does not exist anymore, which is good because it was an illegitimate and corrupt institution, and it's great that that doesn't exist anymore. The awards were sold to Dick Clark Productions, and they have gone out and built a voting body of actual journalists, not just people who wait tables and then write an article here and there, which is literally what the Hollywood Foreign Press was. So there's not that schmooze factor anymore to this award. And it did feel like the awards seemed more legit in terms of they are coming more into line with what a lot of the critics are saying, what a lot of the other awards organizations are saying. So,
is that good, or does that just further this homogenization, and then as a byproduct of that, it just reinforces the abilities for the Oscars to be even more political? Because I'm not sure that there is a system that's not gainable, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing's perfect. You're ranking art, which is a difficult thing to do independently of anything
mm-hmm.
else. And I mean, we even have talked about that in our own, lists of best movies or best TV or whatever, that, putting a number on it means that something else is below that. And it might really be just about equivalent, or, they have different merits, that sort of thing. So that's always a challenge. There's no award out there that is purely based on some imaginary
quantifiable metric.
There's always going to be some kind of, whether it be snooty critics or whether it be industry organizations where people vote for the people they're friends with versus the people that necessarily had the best performance, whether there's a political agenda, whether there's a we've decided we don't like this guy agenda, whether it's something like the People's Choice where it's just the stands get involved and Taylor Swift wins everything. And I'm not saying that.
Yep.
Don't at me, Swifties. I could just as easily have said the whole thing where they did the Oscar fan vote a year or two ago and the Snyder stands.
Kind of wish you would have.
Yeah, but it's Taylor's the this is not a weight comment. This is an old where does an 800-pound gorilla sit anywhere it wants. Taylor's the 800-pound gorilla right now.
That's right.
Taylor is obviously not an 800-pound gorilla in terms of looks or weight, but that, in terms
Snyder
of...
Snyder fans, Swift in terms of fans, influence. At Julio.
Hey, if it gets you to listen, I'll take it. But
that's right.
Yeah, feed the algorithm, as they say. No, I'm not that person. I actually respect and admire Taylor Swift quite a lot. But she's just got the fan base right now. There's nobody else right now that has that fan base. So if you're going to a People's Choice kind of award and Taylor qualifies for something in that category, she's going to win it. The fandom's organized and they're, they're hyped and they're out there to support their person. So, any of these kinds of awards, there's always something. Yeah, I got into a discussion with somebody online about that kind of thing over the past week, and is like, well, if you want an award that's just based on the fan, what the average person thinks, there's the People's Choice Awards, or there you can look mm-hmm. at how much money something made, or what the ratings were on television. That's what that award is. So there's some challenges to that. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
shake, Sinora, shake your body liner. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora, work your body liner. Work, 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 Sinora, work it all the time. My girl's name is Sinora, I tell your friends I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you, jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you, jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you, jump in the line, rock your body on time.
Shake, News shake, Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And just as we did last week, since we're going to be talking about the best TV of 2023 this week, we're going to continue to look back in our music this week at a few artists that we lost last year that I don't think we really spend a lot of time talking about on the show when they passed, unfortunately. But Harry Belafonte, the great musician, the great actor.
Legend.
Yeah, is somebody that we did lose in 2023. I got good money on him maybe being the anchor spot in the Oscar in memoriam this year. He was just such a looming figure in both film and music that I think we've got to get a shot. And you know, also timely to play that song because it was very famously used at the end of Beetlejuice, and this year we're going to get a Beetlejuice too.
I didn't think that was ever actually going to happen, but it looks like it is going down.
It's done filming at this point, so barring, I don't know if maybe if Warner Brothers is producing it, they might decide that it's going to the vault, like it's Batgirl or something.
Yeah.
That's who we should pour one out. Let's pour one out for Batgirl while we're here at it, too.
R.I.P.
Yeah, gone before its time. Literally gone before its time. So we're going to, as I said, we're going to talk about some of the best TV that we saw in 2023, which also makes sense since we're in award season. We just had the Golden Globes, got the Emmys coming up this weekend and the Critics' Choice Awards coming up this weekend. Now the Emmys should have been given out like 3 months ago. They delayed the ceremony because of the strike. So when these awards are given out, the eligibility period actually ended several months ago. So there's going to be some stuff that came out in 2023 that's not going to get awarded here because it just hadn't come out yet during the eligibility period, and it'll end up being eligible next year. So we may talk about some things that will be up for Emmys this year. We may talk about some things that won't be eligible till next year because we're going by the calendar year. So so that's going to be interesting to think about as we go through this because, these awards are kind of – we're getting announcements now that are technically 3 months old is what it's going to boil down
right.
to. Versus the Critics' Choice will be a little bit more current. But we don't, unlike last year or last week, with the movies where we each had like a set top 10 list, we don't have like a formal list here that we're going to go through. We're just going to talk about some of the things that that we really enjoyed this year. And Jeremy, I'm going to give you your first at bat here. Give me something that you'd like to talk about here.
I'm going to give a honorable mention, and then we'll move into, I don't know, maybe what would be considered quote-unquote actual TV. But controversial take, Triple H has been killing it with Raw and SmackDown and NXT this year. Wrestling is never going to be considered something that should be looked at as far as, you know, prestige television or the best television of the year, but when you just look at the ratings, as we were talking about before, you can see that like it's having a moment right now, and Triple H has kind of taken over creative from Vince McMahon over the last year, and the program has just been elevated so much by that. So I wanted to give a shout out to WWE, and let's go ahead and switch gears and talk about the season finale. Well, not specifically, but we have the season finale of Monarch, Legacy of Monsters last night. I know you're a couple episodes behind, but I'm sure you have a take on it. I thought it was pretty good. It had some really nice special effects. Both of the Russells did their jobs incredibly well, and this season finale had some really good performances in one scene in particular. So I like the way it wrapped up. But to be honest, my feelings hadn't changed all that much since you and I kind of spoke about it last time. So I think maybe it was a 3.5 out of 5, but definitely a show worth watching just because it was really well produced. You know, it definitely had a cinematic feel to it. So what did you think about Monarch Legacy of Monsters?
Yeah, it's been a show that I've enjoyed, but I wouldn't call it one of the best shows of the year by any stretch of the imagination. I do think I do think that the anchor has been Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell in the different time periods playing the same character.
Yes.
I think both of them have been knocking that out of the park. I've liked the cast. A friend of mine compared it the other day, and I think this is a very fair comparison, to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, it takes place in this universe, but it's tangential to the universe. You don't get to see the A-list characters very much, if at all, but it's still very solid stuff and enjoyable, and you have a good time watching it. And I think
that's a good comparison.
I think that's fair. Not something I would, again, say is one of the best shows of the year by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely worth watching, especially if you are a kaiju fan, and specifically if you're a fan of the MonsterVerse movies. So
Oh, for sure. What you got?
You know, there's been a lot this year, and I kind of wanted to start out talking with something that I know you haven't watched at all. And this is an overall shout out to the Star Trek franchise. I think the Star Trek franchise just had a damn near perfect year in 2023. Three series in 2023 with new seasons, and all three shows hit their seasons out of the ballpark. Started out the year with Picard season 3, and the reviews over the course of Picard have been, I think, not unfairly mixed. I think season 1 was pretty well regarded. Season 2 got a very, very mixed reaction, and I kind of understand that, even though I enjoyed it well enough. But season 3, I think, just really brought it home, what we'd all been looking for. We got the reunion of pretty much all of the Next Generation cast during this season, and not only that, but got to go back onto the bridge of the original Enterprise-D, and that was just such a moment for anybody who's a fan of Star Trek, the Next Generation. But it wasn't just lingering on the past and all this cool nostalgia stuff that we have with these characters, because we built a future. We had new characters introduced, some of whom have already become very beloved, and we ended this series with a brand new Enterprise and a brand new captain, although the captain being a very familiar face, that being Jerry Ryan, 7 of 9 from Star Trek Voyager, is now the captain of the new Enterprise in the Star Trek universe, which is just so cool. And there's been so much fan clamoring for a series to follow that up, which a lot of the fans are referring to as Star Trek Legacy. There's a perfect setup for it at the end of Picard. Come on, Paramount, we're waiting on you. Give us Star Trek Legacy. We want this series. There's no reason not to give us a series. Just shut up and take our money, is what I'm saying here. We want this.
Would it be hyperbolic to say that in the original series was released in 1966? Would it be hyperbolic to say 2023 was the best year for Star Trek ever?
I mean, it's up there. It's up there. I mean, there are other years that are a possibility. I might say in the time period where Next Generation and Deep Space Nine were overlapping, maybe there's some call for that in there, because we were also getting movies in that time period too. So that's a possibility. But this has been a great year. Moving on from there, we had season 2 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is, just from a strictly qualitative standpoint, the best Star Trek series we're getting right now. And this season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds was just one of the best single seasons of any Star Trek series ever. Now, I understand they have a little bit of a lower bar to clear in that they only have to do 10 episodes a season, when back in the day they were doing, literally, I've been rewatching Star Trek Deep Space Nine right now, 26 episodes a season. So when you got that much pressure and that long to do hour-long episodes versus only having to do 10, yeah, it's more challenging. So they had they had a higher hurdle to clear to have a great season. But literally, out of the 10 episodes we got this season of Strange New Worlds, 9 of them, I think, were all-time classics. There was only one that was just a, like, yeah, that was good. The rest of them were just all-time classics. And my premium shout-outs go to three specific episodes. There was an episode called Those Old Scientists, TOS there for you guys who don't get the references. That was a crossover between Strange New Worlds, which is a live-action series set before the time of the original Star Trek series, and Star Trek Lower Decks, which is an animated series taking place in the Next Generation Deep Space Nine era. So we had time travel, we had characters going from animation to live action and back and forth, and it was funny. It had the spirit of both shows. It was still a good science fiction story. It brought in a lot of great elements from the history of the series. It was just so much fun. Next one I want to mention, they had the guts to try a musical episode of Star Trek this season. Episode was called Subspace Rhapsody. You can kind of get the idea of where they would get that name from. And the cast just nailed it out of the ballpark. They had a good MacGuffin for why everybody was singing all of a sudden. We had some really great, memorable songs. Some of the cast were better singers than others. Shout out to Celia Rose Gooding, who plays Uhura, who was really just the real voice of the show. And something they kind of built around that character as being the voice of the Enterprise. So that really worked. Jess Bush, who I got to meet up in Portland this year, just knocking it out of the park as Christine Chapel. And we got Klingon K-pop. So,
wow, nice.
You can't go wrong with that. And then just a killer cliffhanger episode to end the season with them going up against the legendary enemies, the Gorn. And just can't wait to see what happens when that series comes back later this year. And then last but not least, as I mentioned earlier, Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds had another great season this year. Just continuing to be a really funny show that is in that like adult animation tradition of everything from The Simpsons through to Rick and Morty. But showing an absolute love for the source material of Star Trek and telling really good science fiction stories while still being funny. That's not an easy thing to do, and they're doing it. They're knocking it out of the park. They're doing God's work. I can't wait to see what comes up for the franchise in 2024. We've got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Sculpture at St. Martin's College, that's where I caught her eye. She told me that the tap was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have room with Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And then in 30 seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. Oh, what else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling here. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand. I went to the flagship of the shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked some packs and played some pool. Pretend you never went to school. And still you never get it right. It's when you're stop.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. I could just listen to that song all day. Common People by Pulp. Such a great, great song. And unfortunately, we lost the bass player of that band, Steve Mackey, in 2023. But just such a great song. And also kind of appropriate to play after just talking about Star Trek last segment, because at one point, William Shatner covered that song, believe it or not. So
I don't. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. That is such a great song. That might be the best song of the Britpulp era, and that's saying something. So, but anyway, we moving along. We're talking about the best in TV from 2023, and Jeremy, hit me with another show that you thought merited talking about as one of the best shows of 2023.
So because we both have a ton to talk about, I want to just hit a couple that I know you haven't seen, and then we can kind of get back on the same page.
Okay.
I think we'd be remiss this year if neither of us mentioned three of the prestige television series that are coming, that are probably going to be coming up on the list of award nominees. It's always hard to know, but I think that FX has just been knocking it out of the park. Three of the shows on my list of top 10 are all FX-produced shows. We're going to circle back around to one here inevitably in a little bit. There's no question about it. But that said, Fargo Season 5, starring the girl that plays Keeley
from
Ted Lasso. Her name is Juno Temple. Yeah, she's fantastic. John Hamm's in it, and it is just a really, really good kind of return to the roots for Fargo. Got a lot of like kind of movie references in it, a lot of kind of Coen brother references. Anyways, definitely think Fargo Season 5 is a must watch. Also, The Bear Season 2, man, just talk about phenomenal performances all around. Some of the most like well-developed character stuff that I've seen in a television series. Jamie Lee Curtis shows up in one episode. John Bernthal is a big part of it. Jeremy Allen White, I think, is really blowing up in the Hollywood right now, especially on the back of the movie Iron Claw that just now came out. So anyways, Fargo, The Bear, and then the one from Max that I'm going to mention that we're going to be hearing a lot more from is Succession. That is the HBO series that just now came to an end after season 4. I have a strong feeling that Tom, I don't know the name of the actor, but the guy who played Tom should take home some sort of award. He was just incredible in the series. So those are three of the, like, prestige series that I wanted to mention that I really enjoyed.
Well, and we did see...
I know you haven't gotten around to watching them
yet. Yeah, we did see Beef and Succession both clean up at the Golden Globes last weekend. Those both should be eligible for the Emmys this Sunday, and I'm sure are going to clean up at that as well. I believe this will be, because Succession did come to an end this year, this will probably be the last year that Succession will be up for anything. I'm not 100% sure on the eligibility of the period of the Emmys. It may be possible that something crept over into next year, because it did end kind of in that same time frame, right? September-ish?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So there's a possibility it may still be eligible next year, but I don't think so. I think we're at the end for that one. And yeah, I'm not surprised. Those are shows that I've been meaning to get to myself, and especially Beef. I've got so many people that are on me about Beef in particular. The Bear is what I meant to say, but Beef is another one.
Oh, okay.
That,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. Beef is another one that obviously just cleaned up at the Golden Globes and is expected to do well at the Emmys as well. So we will see how that goes. But yeah, also the miniseries on Netflix has gotten a lot of praise with Steven Yeun and Ali Wong.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then also Fall of the House of Usher over on Netflix, definitely worth a watch. I think that what's his name? He's been doing horror movies over, and that Mike Flanagan has been doing just consistently good horror series around October for the past couple years. If you're into the gothic kind of haunted house style movies, I think you'll enjoy any of his series. But Fall of the House of Usher was really good. But let's talk about something we've both seen, Julio. What about like Poker Face. Did you like Poker Face?
Well, I haven't seen Poker Face yet either, where I thought you were going to go since you mentioned FX as a show that we've, you know, definitely preached the gospel of for
let's talk about
months
it.
Now, and that's Reservation Dogs.
So good.
Yeah, wrapped up, the series wrapped up this year. They came to a point where they decided they were at that an end with it. I would have been more than happy to continue watching these characters for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of a coming-of-age story, and there does tend to be a tendency sometimes with TV series that are about characters of this age to go on for too long and to, you know, end up following those characters into their 20s, and it doesn't like necessarily have the same kind of resonance. So maybe they made a good choice here, but we're already seeing some folks from this series going on to great success. First of all, Lily Gladstone, who is just going to win every acting award there is this year for Killers of the Flower Moon, having been a recurring supporting player in this series. But Devery Jacobs also getting to do a lot of other stuff, not just acting, but writing, and showing up just in What If on Disney Plus recently as a brand new character in the Marvel Universe that I hope they let her play that character in live action at some point too, because she was a lot of fun.
Reservation Dogs, 3 seasons, and so good.
Such a good show, so funny, so such heart to it, and just you really fell in love with these characters and this community, and it just felt real. And I think a lot of us have learned something about this particular Native community, at least, if not all Native American communities, because it is several different communities. But I think we learned a lot in watching this show, and it just was so special.
Yeah.
It kills me that it hasn't gotten the recognition that it deserves. I do think that season 3 came out late enough that we may have one more year after this one for the Emmys, where it's still eligible. I hope that there's still a memory there for it at that time. There's been a long-running joke that Ethan Hawke had a guest-starring role in an episode this season, and there's been a long-running joke that, watch, the only award this show gets will be for the white guy.
I hope
that doesn't happen. That would be criminal if it does. Not that Ethan Hawke wasn't good or not deserving, but you know, this is a show about a Native American community. Let's see some love for the Native Americans that made it and that starred in it and that wrote it. It's just a really great series. I'm looking forward to seeing everything that these people do in the future.
Even a couple of the cast members have ended up in things like Echo. I mean, we're going to see more of them. And even if it doesn't get the critical awards that it may deserve, at least we're seeing it is launching some of these people into greater things and greater, relatively bigger projects, and that's awesome.
While we're on the subject of FX, one other series that I want to mention that is on FX and is therefore on Hulu for streaming is What We Do in the Shadows, which is
good call.
I think a series that we've both enjoyed more or less from the start. We got the news that the next season of What We Do in the Shadows is going to be the last one. And this is another show that I think has gotten a lot of critical praise, but has been a little bit under-recognized when it comes to the award seasons. It's gotten a lot of nominations, but it hasn't really won a whole lot. And if we end this series with no awards for Matt Berry or for Harvey Guin, the cast of the show is incredible. The writing on this show is incredible. It is one of the funniest shows around. So
it is.
I really hope the fact that we've got one more year, there's going to be some recognition in there. I've recognized we've had some other shows that have kind of dominated the conversation amongst the critics, The Bear being one of them that you just mentioned. But let's have some love for What We Do in the Shadows before it leaves us. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Push.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. We are not living in the 80s, although sometimes it definitely feels like it. But I wanted to play that song, 80s by Killing Joke. Another great musician we lost this year, Jordy Walker, the guitarist for Killing Joke, who passed away just a couple months ago in November. So shout out to him and shout out to so many other great artists we lost in 2023. But we were talking about our favorite TV shows of 2023. And Jeremy, I think we kind of hit during the break that I think most of the rest of the ones we wanted to talk about are shows that we've both really, really liked and enjoyed this year. And I think it's kind of fitting to play an 80s song to talk about the next show that I want to bring up, which is The Last of Us, because the very first episode of The Last of Us culminated in this code being revealed over the radio, where they would play a 70s song if everything was okay and an 80s song if there was danger and yada yada. And didn't culminate with that song, but culminated with a great 80s song, Never Let Me Down Again by Depeche Mode, coming across the speakers. And it was kind of it had a moment there, almost not quite the way Kate Bush had a moment in Stranger Things the year before, but it did give a big revival to that song. So it feels appropriate to lead into talking about The Last of Us with that particular song. Man, just what a phenomenal series. And I've had to tell a couple people in the last couple of weeks, they've been like, oh, isn't it a horror show? Isn't it a video game show? Well, yeah, kind of, in that it is based on a video game and there are zombie-like creatures in it. This show is so much more than that, man. It is such a great human drama. It has some great action. It has some true horror to it. But it's the characters and the relationships. And, you know, just we've already seen, because with the Emmy Awards, for those who don't know, we'll have the big broadcast on Sunday. But there is also two nights before that, where they give out a lot of the technical awards, and they give out a few of the like guest actor awards during those times as well. This year, show has already won two acting awards this year. Storm Reid for best guest actress and Nick Offerman for best guest actor for their appearances in the show. And the episodes that both of those actors appear in are just so heart-wrenching that I just don't know how anybody couldn't watch this show and fall in love with it. I really don't.
That's great. You know, when we were talking about FX shows a moment ago before the last break, and I'm always kind of finding myself looking at what might be perceived as a house style. Like, what are the similarities between each of these different projects? And when I look at something like The Last of Us, which is, you know, a Max HBO series, I look at other HBO series like Succession, like Game of Thrones, and I really love the moral ambiguity of the characters and how their motivations may lead them to actions that might not be completely righteous or completely justified. And it just finds a really compelling way of making you sympathize with characters that are kind of put in situations where they often have to do reprehensible things. And I think that the last episode of The Last of Us is just like such a great exploration of morality and what is right and wrong in a situation like that. Familial ties and like what you would do for a child, and Pedro Pascal with his performance just pulled that off so well. I think both those guests acting awards that were given were well deserved. I don't think that the talent begins and ends there as far as even guest roles. There were some great ones, but yeah, The Last of Us was awesome. Big fan.
Yeah, and every series you just mentioned are, you know, Sunday night prestige HBO series, which is a tradition that goes all the way back to The Sopranos. So, you know, there is something to a little bit of a house style there, for lack of a better term. Not that necessarily all of those shows have been the same genre or have the same subject matter, but you know, if a show is on Sunday night on HBO, that's meant to be like that. They're putting their weight behind this being the quality show. And that's where The Last of Us is. That's where House of the Dragon is. That's where, you know, Succession has been. So, you know.
Speaking of House Styles, we've got these two shows that came out on Apple Plus that I know both of us saw and both of us liked. And I do feel that tonally they're very similar. I mean, they even have creators that are involved with both. And, of course, I'm talking about Shrinking and Ted Lasso. You want to talk about either of those?
Yes, I love both of those series. And that's Ted Lasso is another one of those series that's kind of dominated the comedy conversation over the last couple of years and maybe kept What We Do in the Shadows out of the awards, but I'm not holding that against it because it's been a great series. This is another show where the producers have had the restraint to say, yeah, people love this and we could go on for four more seasons and people would probably still watch it, but we've told the story we wanted to tell and we're done. And
yeah, it was so good. Like, cure for the pandemic sadness.
Yeah, and there's a possibility we may get some Ted Lasso spinoffs in the future, but they summed up the story of that title character, Ted Lasso, and just did it so well. I know there are people that thought that the series fell off after season one. I don't agree. I think it continued to be killer, and I just really, really enjoyed it and just came to such a good ending. And I do want to see some of these characters again. Wouldn't even mind looking in on Ted again, but I'm glad that they had the strength to go out while it's still great. So many series don't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't
agree more. Yes, you're correct that Bill Lawrence, who is the co-creator of Ted Lasso, is also the co-creator of Shrinking, and I believe Brett Goldstein is also involved in Shrinking from a production standpoint. Brett Goldstein was also the co-creator of Ted Lasso and played Roy Kent on Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Together working with Jason Segel, who is the star of this show, which is about a therapist who loses his wife and kind of goes off the deep end a little bit and is trying to get his life back together, trying to take care of his clients and just going about it in the most unorthodox way as possible. And Jason Segel's so great in this, but a killer cast. His mentor is Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford doing a great job in this. Jessica Williams. Just the whole cast is fantastic. This is another show that's just going to make you laugh, but it's going to get you in the heart too. It's the kind of thing that Bill Lawrence is really specialized in, going all the way back to Spin City and Scrubs. And he's just doing great work. It's a show that I don't think enough people have seen yet. Definitely go seek this one out. It's a fantastic show. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's called Shrinking.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What about Gen V? We got time for that?
Yeah. Gen V, this is the spinoff of The Boys, and we are going to get season four of The Boys this year. We are getting a season two of Gen V at some point in the future as well. So these two series are going to continue to exist in the same continuum, and there's a possibility we may get some more expansion of this universe as well. And just Gen V has maybe even been a better show than the parent show, The Boys, because it has really dealt with more of the moment issues. It has dealt with a younger demographic in terms of the characters and the things that younger people are facing in the world today through this lens of this superhero universe. And man, I am a little bit of a sucker for coming of age kind of stuff. So that's part of it too. But man, I just think that this series just knocked out of the park. And especially when we got into the last episode of the season and we were seeing all these characters from The Boys showing up and how this universe is going to tie together. And I think we're going to see repercussions from Gen V season one in The Boys season four and vice versa. So I'm here for this universe. They're just killing it. It is not just a hyper-violent satirical show. It is those things too. But man, is it a good drama.
Yeah. I with your comparison between Gen V and The Boys, I think I would easily say The Boys was better if Anthony Starr as Homelander didn't feature prominently in Gen V, because that guy just elevates the entire series and both series every time he's on screen. It's not that anybody's sleeping on him, but I think Homelander is one of TV's best villains ever. And the fact that he plays so heavily into Gen Z, I think, or Gen V really elevated it to me.
Well, I want to mention real quickly, since we're talking about the Boys and Gen V, for those of you who are fans of those shows, make sure you get to Pensacon in February 23rd through 25th in downtown Pensacola. You're going to get a chance to meet Jesse T. Usher, who plays A-Train on The Boys and also appeared briefly in Gen V. And also Laz Alonso, who plays Mother's Milk or M.M., are both going to be at Pensacon this year. So For those of you who are fans of this universe, and I know I definitely am, very excited to be seeing both of those gentlemen coming to Pensacola this year. And, you know, hopefully if everybody gets excited about that, maybe next year we'll bring some more folks from the boys.
That would be amazing.
I'd sure like to see it. Anything else you want to sneak in and mention there? There's a couple animated series I think I'd like to mention very quickly. First, Invincible, which we got the first half of season two in 2023. We're going to get the second half later this year. Continuing to be just a phenomenal, different superhero series than anything else that we've ever seen out there. And then also in the superhero vein, What If, I mentioned briefly earlier in the show. But What If had, they dropped all 9 episodes in a daily fashion Disney Plus, and we're just fantastic, and we are going to get a season 3 of What If, so looking forward to that.
Some things over there at Disney with the release schedule.
Yeah, they are. We've got Echo just dropped and dropped the entire season at once, which I think we're probably going to talk about that next week. Worth mentioning too, Loki season 2 was really good as well. I know we had some iffiness on the MCU this year, but What If and Loki towards the end of the year, I think really did buy some back for the MCU. That's all the time we've got for this week, but we will be back next week. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.